This is very significant. This is the first exoplanet system with seven planets around a single star that we've ever found.
And how far away is it again? I mean, I just can't even comprehend millions of miles.
We work in light years, so it's 40 light years away. But if you were to try and drive your car there at 60 miles an hour, it would take you 400 million years to get there.
So there's no chance of us ever being able to get there, do you think?
Not with the technology that we currently have, no, unfortunately.
Okay, so why are scientists getting so excited about this discovery then?
Because the star is so small, it's very cold. It's only 2,500 degrees, whereas you compare it to the sun at 6,000. So that makes it a very small star. And these planets are very close to it. So that means we can measure their masses very carefully and potentially measure their atmospheres as well, which is really the exciting point because that's when we can tell if there's potentially life there. We're pretty sure, certain that there's water at least on one of the planets.
So how did you get involved in all of this then?
I was working in South Africa. I was observing some of my own science targets, and I had an email from the lead author asking, "Well, would you mind observing the planets for me?" And of course, I obliged, and here we are now.
So it's quite an honour then to be asked by NASA to get involved in this kind of work.
Well, the question actually came from the University of Liège in Belgium. So that's where the principal investigator works.
What did you actually have to do then?
So I point my telescope at the star itself, and then we monitor the star's brightness over time. And as the planets pass in front of the star, they block out a little bit of light, and we can detect that little blocking of light. And how much light is blocked out is dependent on how big the planet is.
Can you actually see the planets, or what is it that you're actually seeing and looking at then?
We're effectively looking at the shadow of the planet. So we can't see the planets themselves. These are
So it's not like having a big telescope, like you can look up at the moon. It's not like
No, unfortunately, it's not quite like that, no.
that. In front of us here, you've got, well, it looks like I've gone back to science class at secondary school, because you've got sort of drawings, graphs with, it looks like someone's gone along with some iron filings and just rubbed bits out of it. So this is the kind of chart that you would be looking at to see whether these planets exist.
Yes, so we're discussing here the light curve that we're building up, and the bits that we're saying are rubbings out are actually the planets passing in front of the star.
I just can't comprehend, because I think for most people we think that when the scientists like yourselves say, oh, we found these planets, and then we see the pictures in the newspapers and on the BBC News website, and that we see all these pictures of planets. Are they pictures of the exact planets that we're seeing?
No, these are just artists' impression from the data that we have. So some of the images you're seeing look like they might be blue, a bit watery, and that's because the data that we have suggests that there's water there. So the artists have used a little bit of their license, shall we say.
Do you think that they've done a good representation then, when you've looked at these images?
I think they've done a very good representation. Yes.
So, and does the University of Central Lancashire get involved in a lot of things like this then?
Oh yes, we have collaborations all over the world. As I say, I work quite a lot in South Africa. We have connections in Australia.
Why in South Africa?
I think it's probably a heritage thing, but they have some very good telescopes there, and so I go there quite frequently and observe the stars, and occasionally sometimes the planets too.
Is that because there's less light pollution than sort of having telescopes here?
Yeah, telescopes in the UK really don't work very often because of the cloud, because of the weather. If you go to places like South Africa or Chile or Australia, they're much drier climates normally, and so you actually get more use out of your telescope.
And what other work then have you been involved with then?
I'm actually a stellar astrophysicist, so I look at stars. I look at stars in particular that are hotter than the sun, and they pulsate, so they change in brightness over time. And we can use those changes in brightness to infer what's happening inside the star.
Now, this system is called the TRAPPIST system, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just explain how that's come about, that name.
So the TRAPPIST is the name of the telescope. It's the Transiting Planets and Planetesimal Small Telescope, which is located in Chile.
Will you be giving these new planets nicer names in the future, rather than TRAPPIST 1F, 1G, 1A?
Well, maybe not quite yet, but I believe that Mikhail, the lead author, wants to name them after Belgian beers, like the telescope. So I'm not sure that will go down very well, but we'll find out.
Well, Belgium's got to make its mark somewhere, well, exactly, hasn't it, in the world? So what's happening next then with this discovery then, Daniel?
So now we're using the Hubble Space Telescope currently to observe the atmospheres, or try to observe the atmospheres of these planets. We're using NASA's Kepler telescope to monitor the brightness in much more detail than we have here.
Isn't there a new new telescope that's being launched next year?
Yeah, and then next year we'll see the launch of the James Webb telescope. And this is going to be the pinnacle of trying to determine what's in the atmospheres of these planets.
Yeah, and will UCLan be involved in any of that, do you know?
We can hope so. I can't say for certain yet.